Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank you for joining us on this afternoon to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. To worship the Lord according to the instructions that were given, that Luke penned in Acts 2:42 and verse number 47. And I want to thank all those brothers that have preceded me, those that gave instructions on fellowship, which is sharing what God has blessed us with back with the Lord, also led us in communion, breaking the bread, those brothers that have led us in prayer on this afternoon, and also the one that led us in praising God. The Bible says, having favor with all the people, verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, and the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. If you're on the call this afternoon, you've been invited. Continuous prayer is those that are outside of Christ, those that are not members of his body that we'll talk about on this afternoon, that you will render obedience. My responsibility to share with you what instructions the Bible has given, God has given us in order for one to become a child of God. No one is a child of God simply by physically being born. You have spiritual parents, but in order for God to become your spiritual father, you have to render obedience to what God has said. You have to be born again. We'll share that with you from the Word of God. This afternoon, we want to continue with our lesson on this morning. Again, the afternoon message is to try to connect them with the morning message. So we have a thought from the morning message, and it carries to the afternoon. This morning, those that assemble with us online or physically at the building, we preach from 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous time shall come. And so from that, we want to speak from the subject this afternoon, it shall come to pass in the last days. So we're talking about the last days, and we want to, for us, those of us that are Christians, to understand the importance of what the last days mean, what they are, as it relates in the Bible. We studied that on this morning where Paul told Timothy how things will be in the Lord's church in the last days, but we want to go back to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah also prophesied about the last days. And so we want to simply draw some benefits, the importance of those last days where Isaiah prophesied. Also, Jesus even said some things. And we'll find that as we look in Isaiah chapter number 2. If you'll meet me there, Isaiah chapter number 2, again, thank the person for read those scriptures for our hearing on this afternoon. So the Bible reads in Isaiah chapter 2, in verse number 1, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. First of all, the word Isaiah in the Hebrew meant Jehovah is salvation. God wanted them to know that God is salvation. And then when he spoke to Judah and also Jerusalem. That's after the kingdom of God had been divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Jerusalem or Israel were the northern kingdom, and Judah was the southern kingdom. Israel were of the 12 tribes, Israel were 10, and Judah consisted of 2 tribes. And so what Isaiah shared with them, what was to happen regarding Judah and Jerusalem. He said, and here's my title, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. So Isaiah, through the instruction from the Lord, he was a prophet. God then, during this time period, did not speak to man. God spoke to men identified as prophets, such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and God would tell them what he wanted his people to know. So Isaiah told both Judah and Israel what would happen in the last days. And he told them that the mountains of the Lord was going to establish a house in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hill to be over everything. And then he said, all nations shall flow unto it. And so we find in Matthew chapter 16, you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 16, and the verse beginning at verse number 16, the Bible says, Jesus asked the question, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Matthew 16:16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, by Jonah, Simon, son of John. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And he told Peter, and I say unto you, unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we find that the mountain of the Lord's house is the church that Christ will build, or the church of Christ. Jesus, following up what Isaiah had prophesied, Jesus also said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when we talk about the last days, let's go to Acts, chapter number 2. So we can walk these scriptures and get an understanding of what Isaiah said about the last days, and then we'll come back and confirm what Isaiah said. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So we find here that all that he's talking about, we'll find where Isaiah said, and all nations shall flow unto it. Notice in verse number 5, the Bible says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So we had men, Jews, those men that were devout, the Bible says, out of every nation under heaven. And then the Bible records for us in verse number 16, as we shared this morning, what Peter, when he stood up and lifted up his voice, verse number 14, with the 11, he said to them, notice he said, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, He said, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. He said, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream. The Bible says that in those days, he said, God will pour out his spirit. He did that on the day of Pentecost to those that were apostles. And we find that in verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So those individuals were able to speak languages that they had not learned, had been taught. However, the Holy Spirit had given them the power, ability to speak those languages. And that's why the question when Peter had to confirm that, no, we're not drunken, as some of you suppose. But this was what Joel prophesied, that during the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So we find here that on this day of Pentecost, not only did the Lord pour out his spirit, but the Lord also, the last days are, as I said this morning, are the last days of human history. There will be no more days after these days. It is also referred to as the Christian age, when Christianity began on the day of Pentecost. That was the first time an individual had a chance to become a Christian, to be added to the apostles. And that happened in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, when he told them, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. What Peter was telling them, I want you to know that these miracles that God did by Jesus, he said, Jesus did them in the midst of you. And you know this. And he said, you all, the determined counsel of God, had foreknowledge of this, that you was going to take Jesus and your hands was going to be wicked and you was going to crucify and murder Jesus. The Bible says, verse 24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden to it. So that's also referred in the Bible as the gospel of Jesus Christ. One, in order for one to become a Christian, they must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must hear that Jesus Christ died for your sin, that Christ was buried in a tomb, and he rose again the third day. In order for you to become Christ's brother or sister in the Lord, you have to render obedience and imitate what Christ did in order to become a child of God. No one, as I said before, is a child of God simply by being physically born. People say, well, yeah, I'm a child of God. You are not a child of God according to the Bible until you do what God has said. And I'll share that with you at the close of my message. So we go back to Isaiah chapter 2. So we established what the last days were. The last days were those days when Christianity began. And then Isaiah said in verse number 3, "And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So now, what Isaiah also prophesied, that the mountain of the Lord house, we talked about that first being the church, he also called it to the house of the God of Jacob. So we find that not only God has a church, but God also has a house. And in this house, it is designed that Isaiah said that God, through his word, would teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. And then he said, "For the word of the Lord will come from Jerusalem." So in Acts chapter 2, they were in Jerusalem, and the word of the Lord came from there. And so we find when the Bible talks about a house in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, 1 Timothy chapter number 3, and the verse is number 15, where Paul, in his writing, his first letter to Timothy, told him, "But if I tarry long," 1 Timothy 3:15, "that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So notice here, Paul referred to it as the house. He also referred to it as the church of the living God. Now, we know if you study that the word God means one divine nature. That's what the word God means. God means one divine nature. However, that divine nature is expressed in three personalities. One is God the Father, two is God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. So when you talk about the house of God and the church of the living God, which God is he referring to? The Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? Well, verse 16, Paul made that clear. He said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Now watch this, God. "God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, and preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then he was received up in glory." God was made known. That was Jesus Christ. The word became flesh. He was also justified by the Holy Spirit. He was seen of angels. We preach Jesus unto everyone. Those that you are either Jew or Gentile, we preach Christ to those of us that are Gentile. And he is believed on. No one can go to heaven if they don't first believe on Jesus Christ. And then when Christ finished his work on earth, he was received up into glory. So that house of God is the house of Christ. And that church is the church of Christ, because he is the living God, the one that became flesh, the one that we preach. We preach Jesus to people in order to obey them. And then Peter, in his writing, in 1 Peter chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter number 2, and the verse is number 5. Note what Peter says about that house. He told those that were Christians in 1 Peter 2:5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So Paul Peter let them know that we are, the church is not a building. The church consists of people. Peter referred to us as lively, a living stone, and we make up that spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood. We don't have to go to a priest to say, confess our faults, but those of us that are Christians, we are also priests. We can go to God ourselves and talk to God, offer up spiritual sacrifices to God that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So Peter said that. Yeah, we are the church. We are a spiritual house. And that's what, when Isaiah talked about the last days, those days were the days of Christianity, where individuals would get opportunity to become a Christian. You know, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, Bible said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Notice what Jesus' response to him was in verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So one has to be born, has to be water baptized. Yeah, Peter said that. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter as I close. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Peter gave those instructions in how what God had done for man in the form of sending his son Christ. Note, Peter said, 1 Peter 3:18, For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So Peter shared with them that Jesus was the just. All of us are the unjust. Jesus suffered for our sins, that he might reconcile or bring us back to God. And he had to be put to death in order for that to occur. And then Peter tells him, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure, what figure? Water, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what I've shared with you today, one has to hear the gospel, one has to believe the gospel, one has to repent of their sins. You got to turn from the life you're living, turn to God. You must confess what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you must be water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sins. And what the Lord will do then will add you to the only church you can read about in the Bible, Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ. So one is on the call today. Someone invited you to call. That's how you become a Christian. That's the importance of the last days when the Christian age starts. Nicodemus had to be there on the day of Pentecost in order to become a Christian on that day and be water baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, and then the Lord would add him to the church. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, except to be born again of the water and at the instructions of the Holy Spirit. So if you're on the call, again, reach out to the person, have them get in touch with us, and if you want to be water baptized and be added to the Church of Christ, the only church you can read about successfully in the Bible, have them get in touch with us. We'll teach you if you need to be taught more and baptize you, which is the will of God, that all men and women be baptized, those at the age of accountability. I thank you again for your listening here this afternoon. Thank you.